It's good to see you out tonight, and we are once again in our study in Psalm 119. And we will begin tonight in verse 105 and continue down through verse 112. So we are making our way through, excuse me, number 105, Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes alway, even unto the end. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father God, we do give you praise tonight, and we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity and this service where we can open the Word of God together and we can spend some time studying and searching the Scriptures. And Father, we thank you for another day, a beautiful day that you have given us. And God, we just pray that as we now open the Word of God together, as we will be going to our prayer time following, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be lifted up in our midst and that he would receive the glory. God, we thank you for your patience with us. We thank you for your understanding, your compassion. And Lord, as we come to the Word of God tonight, we ask for your wisdom. And Lord, we do give you all the praise and all of the glory. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Our study tonight begins with a verse that most of us learned when we were going to Sunday school as children. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And probably out of this section that we are looking at tonight, the two words that begin number 105 are the backbone or the foundation of the entire psalm of 119. Thy word. Thy word. I'm always amused. It's comical and yet it's tragic. But I'm always amused by people when you visit them in their homes and you try to tell them about the Lord and you bring up the subject of the Scriptures and they make a comment that, yeah, well, I don't need religion. I don't need the Bible. I don't need your God. I'm perfectly capable of making my own choices and I just don't need somebody telling me what to do. And at the same time, you look around their living room and you see all these magazines and books that they have. And one book is telling them that they need to lose weight and how to get rid of the cholesterol in their diet. Then they have another book that tells them how to get rid of the fat in their diet. Then they have another book on how to build the deck out back. They have a book on how to invest their money. They have a book on how to get out of debt. They have a book, at least a half a dozen if they've got children, on how to raise their children. But they hate to have anybody tell them what to do. Can you figure that out? I never could quite figure that out. If you were to go into a bookstore and remove all of the how-to books that are filled with man's knowledge, it would be a pretty small bookstore. And yet, if you lay down the Word of God and you say, this book is something that you need to look at, it has the answers to your life, they don't want to study it, they don't want anything to do with it, because they don't want somebody telling them what to do. It would be like me coming in to church some night and setting down a Rolex watch worth $3,500 on that little table right there and a $5 watch you can pick up at any convenience store and telling you, you can have whichever one of those watches you want. And I bet that everybody here would grab that $5 watch. No, you wouldn't. You'd take the Rolex. Maybe you don't even need a Rolex, but you take it because it's worth something. The same thing if I had $10,000 in Canadian money and I set that down. Don't worry about it because I don't. But if I had $10,000 in Canadian money and I set it down there, and then I brought Monopoly money and I set it on the other side, and I said, you can take either one that you want. Not one of you would even look at that Monopoly money. You would want the real thing because it has value. And any person with any sense at all would make the right choices when it comes to something physical or financial in that situation. Yet, you set down a Bible and you put it beside a book that a man has written, and you say you can take either one of those books. And the vast majority of men would pick up the book written by a man and take it home. There is absolutely no comparison between the real thing and a counterfeit. Between something that has value and something that has no value at all. And so the psalmist begins by referring to the great value of the Word of God. Thy Word. Thy Word. It doesn't matter what a man says. It's what God says. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The lamp refers to a candle or a torch. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. It shows me what direction my feet should go in. It shows me, let's face it, when we get up in the morning, every one of us, we don't plan on staying in bed all day. Most of us don't anyway. Unless you're sick or you're incapacitated, you don't want to lay in bed all day. You have plans. You've got someplace to go, something to do. Your feet are going to take you somewhere in the run of a day. You may walk around the house. You may go downtown. You may go on a long trip. But your feet are going to take you somewhere. Spiritually, someone has to tell us where to walk because we'd waste our life. We would waste our life if God didn't come into the picture, if God didn't come alongside through somebody with the Word of God and tell us that we are a created being, that we were created for the purpose of serving God. We would walk through this entire life and we would go nowhere and do nothing of any value whatsoever. Somebody, somehow, has to share, and that's why God is called the church, to share the Word of God, so that the Spirit of God can work in our hearts and open our eyes to the path that God wants us to take. And not the things that we want to do, but what God wants us to do. And so the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In those days, there were no such things as street lights. Anyone who went out after dark had to take a light with them, or they couldn't tell where they were going, and the paths were treacherous. It was very easy to wander off the path. If you're going to travel after dark, you need some form of a light. And many of those paths were connected. The traveling routes were connected, and they would veer off in different directions. And if you didn't know where you were, and you didn't know what you were doing, you could fall off a crevice, or you could go over the side of a cliff. It was extremely dangerous to travel when you couldn't see where you were going. And most of us pride ourselves in our lifetime of making great plans. We think we know where we're going. But the truth is, all across our pathway are a lot of dangers. And until God removes that darkness from our eyes so that we can see His light and we understand the danger that's around us, we're taking paths we shouldn't be on, and we're walking in places where our feet shouldn't take us. But when we come to the Word of God is our map, and it shows us where to go and how to get there. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. The words that he's talking about here, or the language that he's using in verse 106, is the language of a soldier. I have sworn. He has made an oath, such as a soldier makes an oath when he takes on his position. He swears, or he makes an oath, that he's going to protect the country. He will follow orders. And so he said, I have sworn, and I will perform it. I have made an oath before God that I will do what I'm telling you that I will do. I'm going to place my life in your hands. I am subject to your commands. I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. When we get saved, or at that moment, when we pour ourselves out before the altar of God, and we ask for forgiveness of our sins, and we ask the Lord Jesus Christ to become our Savior, to guide us from that moment on. We are making an oath before God that we will continue in His commands, that we will keep His judgments, His word. Well, we all know that saying it and doing it is another thing. It's very easy to say what you're going to do. It's very difficult to follow through and be faithful to what we have said or what we promised God. One thing we don't have to worry about is whether God is going to be faithful in what He's promised us. And that's the good news. The bad news is that it's not as easy to be that faithful Christian as we would hope that it is. We come under attack. And so we have to keep reminding ourselves, and sometimes God reminds us of the oath that we make when we surrender our lives to Him, that we will be faithful and that we will move on the right paths and we will follow the Word of God. He said, I have sworn. That is a vocal testimony, and I will perform it, that's His oath, that I will keep thy righteous judgments, and that's His obedience. That's His obedience. Once again, it's easy to talk about it, and that's why we have so many people today who are professing Christians that talk about their Christianity but do not live it. And people like that have the best of intentions, but they cost the Church of God dearly, because people watch us. They watch us in how we talk, how we react to things, how quickly we lose our temper, what we are trying to accomplish in the run of a day, and whether or not we are short-tempered with people, nasty with the way that we address ourselves. We have to constantly be aware that someone is watching our actions at all times. And they are, what they're doing is they're looking at your life and they are making a comparison between what you are doing and the life you're living and the life they're living. And if your life does not show that it is of greater value and it has a substance and it has a purpose in your relationship with Christ, they walk away figuring they don't need Christ. They don't need what you have because it certainly isn't doing anything for you. And so we need to be very, very careful. Whoever the psalmist was, he had gone through some difficult times in his life, and yet he had sworn, or he had made an oath before God, that he would keep the judgments or the word of God regardless. Most talk about their faith, but very few actually live it. And the reason that they don't is because they've never committed to it. We talk about commitment all the time in the church, the need for being committed. Commitment simply means that you're going to obey what you know. And many people have a great amount of knowledge. There are people who have gone to church for years and years and years, and they can quote scripture, and they're very good at telling you what you need to do. But they're very poor in doing what they tell you to do. And so we need to make sure that our lives are on the same level as our talk. This man, whoever he was, made it a part of his life when he came to Christ, when he came to the Lord. He said, not only will I be faithful, I will be faithful. I'm not going to talk about what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I talk about. And so he said, I'm going to keep the judgments of God. I am afflicted very much. Once again, he's going through a very difficult time. We saw back a couple of weeks ago the low point of this psalm and how he had reached rock bottom, and yet the only place he could look was up, and he did that. He sought the Lord, and now he's afflicted again. I am afflicted very much. He's not so much complaining here as he is pleading. There's a difference between complaining about the things that are going on in your life and pleading with God concerning those things. He said, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me. Strengthen me. Give me purpose in life. O Lord, according unto thy word. Once again, there's only one place to turn when things are falling apart and when things are going very well. We have to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. During times of affliction, and the Lord sometimes brings these things into our lives to force our eyes back where they belong, to bring our heart back where they belong. Sometimes it has nothing to do with the way we live. It's simply a trial or a test that God is bringing into our lives to strengthen our faith. Perhaps at that moment when we are going through the most difficult of times, someone who is not a Christian is watching us, and they're seeing how we handle those difficult times, and they too are going through a difficult time, and they find strength in us. And it opens up an avenue by which they will ask us about our Lord. We don't always have the answers as to why things happen, but we certainly do have to trust the Lord that He knows what He's doing, and that when these difficult times come into our lives, there is a reason for it. Quicken me, or give me the strength I need, O Lord, according unto Thy word. In 108 it says, "Accept, I beseech Thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me Thy judgments." Accept, I beseech Thee, the freewill offerings. In the Old Testament, during the time of the offerings, during the sacrifices, the freewill offering was always given last, and it was one of the peace offerings. The reason that it was always last is because it was not mandatory. It was not something that God demanded of the people. A freewill offering was exactly what it sounds like. It was an offering that was given by a person willingly out of gratitude and thankfulness to God. And so, now this is important because this man is going through a difficult time in his life and yet he's going to praise God. For most of us, that's the last time. That's the least of the times in our lives when we praise God, and that's the time when we should do it the most. But at this time, he said, "I want you to accept the freewill offering of my mouth." What in the world is he talking about? He's talking about praise. Praise. He said, "I want to praise you and I will praise you regardless of what happens to me. I don't care what it is. I am going to give you the praise and the thankfulness of my mouth." And he said, during this time, during this difficult time, "Lord, I understand. I may not understand why it's happening, but I understand that you love me, and you have the very best for my life. So during this difficult time, teach me. Teach me. I'm not going to complain. I'm going to ask you to teach me a valuable lesson. Don't let this be for nothing. Don't let this difficult time that I'm going through accomplish nothing in my life. Teach me something, that I might be able to use this for my benefit and for the benefit of those around me at a later time. And I'll give you thanks for it. Even for this difficult time in my life, I'll give you thanks and I will give you praise." In verse 109 it says, "My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law." Now you would think he would have written, "My soul is continually in your hand." But he writes, "My soul is continually in my hand." He'd already made the commitment. He'd already said that his soul was in the hands of God. But now he acknowledges something. He says, "My soul is continually in my hand." In other words, it was his responsibility to guard his life. God has promised to protect our lives, and God has promised to bring us through the difficult times and to have us face no more than we can handle. And God is faithful. But it's your responsibility and my responsibility to guard our walk with Christ, to protect it. And we need to be on guard to do that. The soul, it is in God's hands, and I praise God for that tonight. I certainly hope you do too. But we also have to accept responsibility for where our feet take us. Yes, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God shows us the path that we are to take. But we don't always take the right path, do we? Sometimes we deliberately leave the path. Sometimes we sin. And what he's saying here is, I understand my responsibility. Don't let me wander off the path. Don't let me do something foolish during this time of trial. Keep me and help me. My soul is continually in my hand. I have responsibilities here too. And I want to do what's right. So help me to do what's right. I will not forget thy law. Bring the verses to my mind and help me with your spirit to be aware of the danger around me, that I do not wander off the path or do anything that will bring reproach upon the name of my God. In verse 110, it says, the wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Down through the ages, Satan and the wicked of the world have desired to silence Israel. Now they are desiring not only to silence Israel, but the Church of Jesus Christ. The wicked have laid a snare for me. Israel is looked upon as vermin that need to be exterminated. Down through the ages, it seems like every empire had the same view of this people. That which God loves, Satan despises. That which God protects, Satan tries to destroy. The Church of Jesus Christ is the very same thing. Today, we are surrounded by people, and it's amazing, people that Israel has never hurt would like nothing better tonight than to see Israel exterminated, completely wiped out, the nation disbanded. The Church of Christ faces the same thing. The true Church of Christ doesn't go about to hurt anyone. Our purpose is the same purpose as our Lord. It is to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Jesus did not go up and down the streets of Galilee and the surrounding areas through Judea seeking to hurt anyone. His life was a testimony of life. He gave life to those who were dead. He gave sight to those who were blind. And we can go on and on and on with all of the miracles and the good things that Jesus did. And yet he was hated. He was hated because man is a fallen creature. And his eyes are blinded to the light of God. And he despises light. He's very comfortable in his own sin. And so if the world would crucify Jesus, it certainly would try to destroy Israel. And if it will try to destroy Israel, it will try to destroy the church. Because we represent Jesus Christ. And Satan despises every attempt to evangelize or to open the eyes of the world. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Because he was very much aware of what was going on around him, because he was in the Word of God, and because he trusted completely and faithfully in God, he said, though they have laid a snare around me, I have been free from error. I have not fallen into the snare, because you have opened my eyes, and I have been faithful to you. You've been faithful to me. I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. When we think of a heritage, we talk a lot about our country's heritage. Usually what a heritage is what we have that someone else paid for. Basically, that's what a heritage is. It's what we have received that someone else paid for. We have a country that is free today because somebody paid a dear price for the freedoms that we have. In the church, it's the same thing. The freedom that the church enjoys, the Word of God and the opportunity for salvation, the hope that we have in Christ The promises that we have in the Scripture, we have inherited those things. They are our heritage because someone paid a dear price. And that someone is Jesus Christ. He paid the ultimate price that we might have life. And this whole book, the entire book, the Old Testament tells us about the sacrifice of Christ that's coming, and the New Testament teaches about the sacrifice of Christ that's taken place. Everything in this book is about Christ. And it promises us that He's coming again. That's our heritage. Everything else that we have worked for and everything else that we find so important in this life is going to be left behind. We'll take absolutely nothing with us when we die. Everything that we have worked for and accumulated is going to be left for somebody else, except that which we have worked for the cause of Christ. When you go to heaven, the whole purpose of God dying in your place and bringing you to the place of the cross and calling you into service, when you go to heaven, the whole purpose of your life is that you don't go alone. That you bring somebody with you. That you share the good news of the cross, the death of Christ, the life of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, the salvation of Christ. Because the only thing that you will ever take with you to heaven are the lives of those that you've touched with the gospel. That's going to be your heritage. But it's a wonderful heritage. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, the Word of God. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Paul talks and writes about finishing well. Well, that's exactly what he's talking about here in the last verse, 112. He said, I want to finish well. Right up until the time I close my eyes in death, I want to be accomplishing great things for my Lord. I have inclined mine heart to perform, to continue the oath that I have given. We can sum up this section, these eight verses. Usually, once we looked at, if you go through every one of the verses in Psalm 119, you'll find the word thy. It has, every verse has the word thy in it. Thy word, thy statutes. And it goes on and on and on. But in this particular section, you will find the same thing. But we're going to sum it up in a different way tonight. Tonight we're going to use the word my. And if you go to verse 105, there you'll see my feet. You'll also see my path. In verse 108, you will see my mouth. In 109, you'll see my soul. And in 111, you'll see my heart. All of them are connected in our walk with Christ. All of them are connected in this wonderful relationship that we have with God. My feet, my path, my mouth, my soul, my heart. All of them belong to God. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we give you praise tonight. We thank you so much. Lord, sometimes we don't appreciate how much you love us and what you have done for us. And God, I just pray tonight that we would just catch a glimmer of your glory. Help us, Father, to be faithful. We live in such a busy world, and we have allowed the world to encroach upon us and to bring demands upon us. But Father, I pray that we would just slow down and give thanks. Help us to praise you. Help us to realize what we have in Jesus. And help us, Father, to make sure that those around us not only hear us talking about the wonders of God, but see us living for the wonders of God. And we will give you praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.